Gopi Jana Balava Kiri Baradari. Yashodanandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Yashodanandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Yamuna Tiravana Chari. Yamuna Tiravana Chari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Gopi Jana Balava Giri Baradari. Jai Gopi Jana Balaba Giri Baradari. Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Yamuna Tira Banachari. Yamuna Tira Banachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Gopi Jana Balaba Giri Baradhari. Jaya Gopi Jana Balaba Giri Baradhari. Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Yamuna Tiravana Chari. Yamuna Tira Banachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Gaur Bhaktivrinda ki jai. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Which verse is it? 37. Dravya. I better do it here. Sorry, I don't have the glasses. Narayanam namaskritya naram chaiva narottamam devim sarastim vyasam tato jayam udvirayet nasta prayeshu abhidreshu nityam bhagavata sevaya bhagavata yutama shloke bhaktir bhavati naishtiki Dravya, Kriya, Hetu, Ayana, Isha, Karpi, Mayaganai, Vastu, Nirikshita, Atmane, Anvikshaya, Anga, Atishaya Atma Buddhibi Nirasta Maya Akritaye Nama Nama Dravya Kriya Het Vanyane Shakartibi Maya Gunayar Vastu Nirikshitatmane Anvikshaya Yangatishayatma Buddhibi Nirasta Maya Kritaye Namo Namaha Dravya Kriya Hetvanyane Shakartibi Maya Gunayar Vastir Nirikshitatmane Anvikshaya Yangatishayatma Buddhibi Nirasta Maya Kritaye Namo Namaha All right. Everyone, ladies, Maya Gunai Vastu Nirikshitatmane. Anvikshaya Yangatishayatma Buddhibi Nirasta Maya Kritaye Namo Namaha Dravya Kriya Het Pavanay Shukartibi Maya Gunayar Vastir Nirikshitatmane Anvikshaya Yangatishayatma Buddhibi Nirastamaya Kritaye Namo Namaha. Dravya Kriya Hetva Vainashya Kritibhi. Maya Gunar Vastu Nirikshitatmane. Anvikshaya Yan Gatishayatma Buddhibhi. Nirastamaya Kritaye Namo Namaha. Okay. Dravya, by the objects of sense enjoyment. Kriya, the activities of the senses. Hetu, the predominating deities of sensory activities. Hetu. Ayana, the body. Isha, the predominating time. Kartri B, by false egotism. Maya Gunai, by the modes of material nature. Vastu, as a fact. Nirikshita, being observed. Atmane, unto the Supreme Soul. Anvikshaya, by careful consideration. Anga, by the limbs of yogic practice. Atishaya Atma Buddhibhi, by those whose intelligence has become fixed. Nirasta, completely freed from. Maya, the illusory energy. Akritaye, whose form. Nama, all respectful obeisances. Nama, respectful obeisances. The objects of material enjoyment, sound, form, taste, touch, and smell, the activities of the senses, the controllers of sensory activities, the demigods, the body, eternal time, and egotism are all creations of your material energy. Those whose intelligence has become fixed by perfect execution of mystic yoga can see that all these elements result from the action of your external energy. They can also see your transcendental form as Supersoul in the background of everything. Therefore, I repeatedly offer my respectful obeisances unto you. Purport. The objects of material enjoyment, the sensory activities, attachment to sense pleasure, the body, false egotism, and so on are produced by the Lord's external energy, Maya. The background of all these activities is the living being, and the director of the living being is the Supersoul. The living being is not all in all. He is directed by the Supersoul. In Bhagavad Gita 15:15, Krishna confirms this. Sarvasya chaham riti sannivishta matak shmitir ganam apovanam cha. I am seated in everyone's heart, and from me come remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness. The living entity depends on the Supersoul for directions. A person advanced in spiritual knowledge or a person expert in the practice of mystic yoga, yama, niyama, asana, and so on, can understand transcendental transcendence either as Paramatma or as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Supreme Lord is the original cause of all natural events. Therefore, he is described as Sarva Karana Karanam, the cause of all causes. Behind everything visible to our material eyes is some cause. And one who can see the original cause of all causes, Lord Krishna, can actually see Krishna, the Satchidananda Vigraha, in the background of everything, as he himself confirms in the Bhagavad Gita 9:10. Maya Dakshena Prakriti Suyate Sacharacharam Hetunane Nakonteya Jagat Vibhari Partite. Everyone knows that one? You can say it? It's from the wonderful chapter 9. It explains everything about how Krishna is working in this material universe. The material nature is working under my direction, O son of Kunti, and it is producing all moving and non-moving beings. By his rule, this manifestation is created and annihilated again and again. Om Agana Chaminrandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chaksura Militanyena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sajajatam Sahagana Raghunathan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvetam Sabadutam Parijana Sahita Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakan Vitamscha Nama Om Vishnupadaya Krishna Prastaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namane Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvisesha Shunyavadi Paschacha Desatarane Vanchakalpa Trubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Hey Krishna, Karuna Sindhu, Dina Bandhu, Jagatpate, Gopesha Gopika Kanta, Radha Kanta, Namostate, Tapta Kancha, Nagorange, Radhe, Vrindavanesha Devi, Shabanu, Sute Devi, Pranamami, Hari Priye. We were just talking how we're mercy cases. Because everything we have is created to and given to us by Krishna. So we have to thank Krishna. Prayer means to glorify and thank Krishna for everything. Most people think prayer means we're asking Krishna, give me more. Protect me. Protect, you know. But nothing is mine. We get that in the Bhagavad Gita over and over again. Nirmama, nirahankara. Right? No false ego, which is mentioned here, and no possessiveness. Nothing is mine. Everything belongs to Krishna. That's real renunciation. But one can have many things, like Yudhisthira, as an example, Parikit, many great devotees. They're kings. Yudhisthira's opulence was bewildering to the demigods. But he slept in the cow barn on the ground. Didn't eat until he had fed something like 50,000 Brahmins in the castle, in the palace. And Draupadi was in charge of the kitchen, and she didn't eat until he ate. That's old-fashioned. I don't know if Indian families still do that. Huh? I knew one of the first Indian people I ever met really close. And he was older, from Jaipur. And his wife would never eat till he finished. If he was sick and fasting, she would fast, you know. But then I meet some of the younger ones, and, oh, I have to eat onions because my wife gets mad if I don't eat onions. And, you know, the wife controls. So things are changing, at least some families. But tradition is there. But real tradition, real understanding is everything is owned and controlled by the Lord. Ishavasyam idam sarvam yatkin cha jagat cham jagat tena taktena bundita magridahaka swadanam. Everything is animate and inanimate in this universe is owned and controlled by the Lord. And we should only take our quota. Now, some people have very big quotas. So we shouldn't, like, condemn them for that. They can't help it, you know, because of previous pious activities. Sometimes, of course, like the demons, they get a lot of opulence, but not by pious activity, by tapasya. You know, we see that in the history. Like Bali Maharaj, he served a guru selflessly, but they do great tapasya, like Hiranyakasipu, and they become very, very rich and very powerful. So we some people, maybe they got rich and powerful like that, not because of pious activity. Other people, but you can usually tell the difference, you know, because those people are nice, they're generous, they're polite, they're respectful to everyone, even though they have so much opulence, because they know this is given to me by Krishna. They don't even think I deserve it. Actually, a devotee will think I don't deserve it. Why am I getting so much? Whereas a demon will think, I am such a good person, I've worked so hard, I've done so much tapasya, or I've done so much charity, yajnaste nama yajna, but I should have more. Because that's how Krishna says the demons are thinking, right? What's that verse? Ishvaraham aham bhogi, sidoham balavan sukhi. I am the controller. I'm happy. I'm the enjoyer. Then he says, and I've gotten so much and I'll get more. He's my enemy and I'll kill him and I'll get his property. You know. So we have those kind of people. There's always two kinds. Even, you know, Hiranyakasipu, that was such a yuga. They weren't so much on this planet. But so we want to focus on the, you know, the divine qualities. We can read the Bhagavad Gita and Krishna describes it, you know, divine and demoniac nature. Demoniac nature we're very familiar with. The mode of passion, the mode of ignorance, we're very familiar. And they're all created by Krishna. But a devotee sees these things when he sees things happening. There's a mode of ignorance, there's a mode of passion. But behind that is Krishna. Behind it all is Krishna and the super soul. But the super soul is Krishna. That's another higher realization. Some yogis will, you know, by their following very strictly the Patanjali and all the yamas and niyama and asana and pranayama and pratyahara and whatever they are up to samadhi, they might actually see the super soul in their heart. But many mistake to think that's me and that they're supreme. So they get stuck. Much better, you know, then they have to worry about leaving the body at the exact right time and dissolving all the different elements into the greater elements and then traveling to whatever planet they want to go to. Very, very difficult. Takes many, many lifetimes of cultivation. But Krishna told Arjuna when he was describing that about leaving at different times, you don't have to worry. Devotees don't have to worry. If we've been a devotee, we're practicing, and at the time of death we can remember Krishna, and Krishna will help. If we're trying to remember Krishna our whole life, devotees ask, you know, what? Well, somebody's in a coma or something. But that doesn't mean, when people are sometimes in a so-called coma for many years and then they wake up and they remember everything that people were talking around them and everything, how their family was talking about them. But, you know, they weren't reacting to anything, so everybody thought they were just stone. But they were actually witnessing. So we never know. But Krishna is in the heart, so he will make a devotee remember him. If we've been trying to remember him our whole life, and he will make sure that devotees are around and devotees are chanting or somehow or there's a kirtan machine playing or something. Krishna is very kind like that. He doesn't, you know, it isn't that our own endeavor, our effort to attract the mercy of Krishna. We try to serve, maybe we can't do very nicely, you know, can't do anything really perfectly, because there's no such thing as perfection, except to keep trying. That's what Prabhupada described, you know. Someone asked him, like, we see that the spiritual master is perfect or something, but sometimes it seems like he's forgetting a sloka or telling something a little different than what we know in the Mahabharata or something. I probably said, you don't understand. It means he never quits serving Krishna, you know, and never give up trying to offer everything to Krishna. So the Bhagavatam, these kind of things are stated many, many places, and Krishna states it in more simple terms, you know, like this one, Maya Dakshena Prakriti. I'm in charge of everything. Aham Sarvasya Prabhupo Matak Sarvam Pravartate. Everything comes from me. I am the source of everything. He's repeating in the same different words, the same idea. Everything comes from Krishna. He's the original source. He's the Sarva Karana Karanam. That actually sloka from the Brahma Samhita, Ishvara Parama Krishna, Satchit Ananda Vigraha, Anadir Adir Govinda, Sarva Karana Karanam. If we can just remember that, we'll be in pretty good shape to deal with whatever comes, good or bad. Ishvara Parama Krishna, he's the supreme. Someone else trying to control me. Someone's trying to control my business or my temple or, you know, my family. Okay, but who's the supreme controller? It's Krishna. Lord Chaitanya said, you know, Ekala Ishvara Krishna. There's only one controller, and that's Krishna. Arsab Britya. Everyone else is a servant. We're servants. That's why we get the name Das. We don't always remember that. I've told a few times that Navayovana Swami was telling me how he got initiated. And it's quite unique. He was very, very new coming to the temple in Delhi back in the very early, you know, we had a small house. And Prabhupada was there. So he was massaging Prabhupada. And he's a Kashmiri Brahmin by birth. So he said, Prabhupada said, what is your name? And he said, my name is Yogendra Kumar Sharma. And Prabhupada looked at him and said, your name is Navayogendra Das. So he went out and told the devotees, they couldn't believe it, you know, the first time he came to the temple. And Prabhupada just initiated, because he could see you know, this is potentially something very good. So, but Das, Prabhupada said to Das very strongly. We tend to forget that. You know, we don't always introduce, my name is somebody Das. We just give the Christian name. The Mayavadis also get Christian names, but they don't get Das. So they think, I am Narayan, I am Vishnu, I am whatever. But we are Das, we're all servants. And everything is given to us by Krishna. Everything belongs to Krishna. So when we give up everything, Bhaktivinoda Thakur describes very nicely in different places and that, okay, I will never say I again. I will never say mine, you know. But my house, my wife, my children, my dog, my front gate, he lists off so many things. They all belong to you, not mine. But he doesn't walk away. He says, but I will take care of them very carefully on your behalf because that's your order for me. So that's our thing. We take care, and especially because this body belongs to Krishna, like we have our Ayurvedic here, we have to take care of these bodies. We have to use them. We have to keep moving, you know, keep the blood circulating, right? Of course, we never know that we have some kind of karma. Sometimes the so-called healthiest people, you know, they also have heart attacks or get something. But we have to make that effort. Take care. It's Krishna's, not mine. My friend from high school, we used to, our main association was drinking beer together. And then I met him after I was a devotee. And he had been in the army in Vietnam, and he was out. And, you know, I was trying to preach to him a little bit. He was very intelligent. We also had philosophical discussions, you know, but and poetry and all kinds of things. And listen to music like tragic songs of death and sorrow and things like that, you know. Trying to understand life. But he said, yeah, I understand like you, we're not this body. So I can drink and smoke and do whatever I want with it. It's not me anyway. See, so that's a misunderstanding that most people have if they get some understanding. You know, I'm not this body. So we don't have to worry about it. But we live in it. So we're not the car either, but you have to take care of your car. But some people, they really take good care of their car, but they never care for their body. Or I was just talking to Adi Keshwar, the dermatologist. So he's saying how now the dermatology is mostly cosmetic. Dentists also. In Vrindavan, there's two dentists, big advertisement, cosmetic dentistry, new teeth in 7 days or something, you know. But not, and the one, he specializes in cosmetic dentistry, and his wife is a cosmetologist downstairs, so for the skin. So, you know, the skin whiteners and the skin lighteners and the skin this, and the big, big business, huge, one of the biggest businesses in the world, the skin. So to think, you know, it'll look beautiful. People think like they can get a better job if they have white skin. Maybe true, you know, I don't know. It might not be a very good company if they judge you only by your skin. But they're thinking like that. They can get a better... I read in Japan, and they call it aesthetic surgery. It's very, very big business there. One of the first leading places. And they said the fathers now, they can't, you know, their daughter will never accept an arranged marriage. So they give her all the cosmetic surgery, you know, fix the eyes big and fix the nose, and so she might be more beautiful and get a better husband. Because she won't accept, you know, the father picking out the husband anymore. So This is it. Prabhupada talks about skin disease, but we're judging by the skin. You know, so of course nowadays different people judge differently according to what kind of skin they have, but the skin is a very thin layer on top of the body, and underneath everyone's the same. The doctor, the surgeon, can operate on an African or a Chinese. He doesn't have to say, no, I only know Chinese bodies. Their insides all the same. The dentist, it's all the same. Blood transfusion. I had a blood transfusion in Germany. The blood's coming from many countries. You know, they just have to get the blood type, but you don't have to find someone with the same ancestry. You know, as human, it's not. There's no race. It's all. They're all human. We're all human. They're trying to realizing that more and more, but still, there's so much prejudice, so much judgment, because we don't understand that the cause of all causes. We think this person's the cause of my happiness or my distress. No, they're the instrument of my karma. But Krishna is sarva. He's anadir adir govinda anadir adir. He doesn't have any. He has no beginning, but he is the beginning. That's like beyond any kind of mechanical science to understand that. And then sarva karana karanam, he's the cause of all causes. Every cause has an effect, and every effect has a cause. So if there's a plague or something, you know, they try to find out the cause. Sometimes in America anyway, a lot of people get sick. Then they find out they were all eating spinach from the same company, and that there was a batch that went bad, had some food poisoning or something. So they ban that company for, you know, everybody has to throw away everything from that company for a few weeks. They want to know the cause. When there's a plane crash, you know, they examine every little piece of the airplane, trying to figure out what causes crash. But there are immediate causes, but behind everything is the remote cause, which is Krishna, super soul, Krishna. So we're all getting, you know, what we deserve. So if the more we give, the more we get. The more we take, the more we lose. You know, I saw somebody said a wise saying. He said, givers have to be careful to set limits. Don't give away everything. Isn't that what, what's his name, the guru of Bali Maharaj? So he was telling, don't give everything. He's going to take everything, you know. That's against the Vedas. You have to keep for yourself, you know. And that's true to some extent, you know. We had a case in Australia. Some couple joined, and they gave everything. They gave their house. They gave everything to the temple. And then later, the temple hadn't used exactly what they thought wanted them to. And then they sued, and they won, because the judge said, the temple should have known they couldn't afford to give that much. You know, they should have not let them give everything. But he said the givers have to set limits because the takers have no limits. No matter how much you give, they'll give a little more. You know. But Krishna does that, but it's okay because Krishna takes away the things we don't need. There's never a loss or diminution when you give to Krishna. In fact, Prabhupada showed perfectly, you know, he was giving everything to Krishna and his business went away, he lost everything. But then he got back unlimitedly more. But Krishna never, you know, Krishna takes away. People are afraid of him. Hari takes away, he's going to take away my something. No, he doesn't take away. He takes away our greed and our lust and our anger and our envy. Those are things we don't need. If we chant the holy name, that's what will. He may not give us wealth and riches and make us the prime minister and any of those things. But he takes away the things that are hindering our any kind of enjoyment. If one is lusty and greedy and angry and envious, can't enjoy material life either, right? Can't enjoy, and what to speak of spiritual life. These are our real enemies. In my position, you know, as a so-called GBC, we deal with a lot of conflicts between devotees. It's one of the main work. And they're thinking, this one is my enemy. You know, he's for some reason. But we have to realize, who are the real enemies? We all have the same enemies. And we're supposed to be helping everybody to conquer those enemies. Right? What are those enemies? The six enemies? Huh? Loud. Yeah. Kama, Krodha, Lobha, Moha, Matsarya. What's the other one? Huh? Those are the enemies that everyone is dealing with. Even I was in Africa, I had a long taxi ride, and most of the people there, they're Christian. So he was asking me, what's Hare Krishna about? So I told him all about lust, greed, anger, those are our enemies. Completely agreed, you know. Because all scripture is saying like that. You know, if I would have said, well, we believe Krishna and he plays the flute and he's got all these cows and girlfriends and he's got 16,000 wives and that's our religion, then, you know, I wouldn't have got along with the guy. He probably would have dropped me off in the countryside somewhere. But this is common. Anyone who's a little pious, who's a little thoughtful, even a non-religious person, they can have some understanding. These are the real enemies. And they cause wars. You know, if somebody becomes controlled by their anger or their envy, they make wars. They make suicide bombs. They make all kinds of trouble. See it happen all over the world. So these are what we want. And only Krishna can conquer them. When we depend on Krishna and say, please, Krishna, you know, this is what Prahlad is praying. Om Namo Bhagavate Narasimhaya Namaste Tejase, you know, the source of all power, the all-powerful. Vrajanaka, he has fingernails like thunderbolts and teeth like thunderbolts. Vrajanaka Vamsada Karmasayan Randaya Randaya Tamo Grasa Grasa. Please destroy these material desires in my heart, which are just like demons, and they're causing him so much trouble. I just came from Vrindavan, and, you know, we go by, and we walk past Kaliya Ghat. And there's a very nice prayer by Rupa Goswami. He's praying to Kaliya Krishna that my evil mind, you know, is like wicked, like all the heads of Kaliya, and is causing so much trouble all over the world. Please stomp on my mind, you know, and kick out all these lusty desires. It's a common prayer for devotees. And, of course, Rupa Goswami, how could... But the thinking like that, the thinking, you know, because comparing to Krishna, so we can learn from them and understand. Prabhupada, he was in New York City, but he felt like everybody, you know, many, even American people go to New York City and get scared. And they look, it gets so cosmopolitan. One spot, we do our Harinam in the subway station on track number 7 or whatever it is. And it's connected to 70 different ethnic settlements along the track. So people are coming out like every kind of human being that that the world is producers coming up off that subway. So people that come from the remote, more remote places where everybody's the same, you know, they come to New York and they're just like, ah, you know. But Prabhupada, he thought everybody is friendly. This is a friendly place. Because he sees Krishna in everyone's heart. And because he was friendly. So everybody was friendly to him. That's just the whole trick. Is preachers are friendly to everybody. And then people reciprocate. If we're trying to convince people that they're wrong and we're right, we have the superior knowledge, that they're going to argue. But if we're just friendly with them and, you know, want to know about them and, you know, what are you doing, where are you coming from, and, you know, this is something really nice and it's helped me so much, so, you know, please check it out, you know. It's very simple. So remember this, you know, we've got Sarvas Yachaham Riti Sannivishta Matak Smritir Gyanam Apovanam Chadat. That's one of the most quoted, if we read Bhagavatam, there's certain verses that are quoted in the purports like more than in so many times. This is one of them. Actually, both of these. And in Chaitanya Charitamrita, there's a statement, unfathomable. the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya are unfathomable. We were reading the Chaitanya during the lockdown. We were reading 2 hours a day, and you know, and I just found that word over and over again. Who knows what that means? Unfathomable. No sailors here? Huh? A fathom is some, like a foot or a yard or something that they use for measuring the depth of water. So when the ship wants to know how deep the water is, it's so many fathoms. It used to be anyway. So the ocean of Lord Chaitanya's pastimes is unfathomable. It means you can't find the bottom. No matter how deep you go, even now when they go deep in the ocean, they find different forms of life, which, you know, supposedly no life could exist with the amount of pressure and the temperature and all that, but they find something. So, but there's no bottom. Even the ocean, there's some, they don't know how deep it is. They can't find anything that can go deep enough. But this is Lord Chaitanya's pastimes. We can't find the end of it. But we should keep searching. We should keep digging. And we just find newer and newer and newer nectarine. Not weird lifetime, but newer and newer pastimes. Newer and newer wonderful things. And understand that Krishna is, you know, in the supreme control. And we just have to surrender to Krishna, cooperate with Krishna. Bhakti, Prabhupada said, means cooperating with Krishna. It's very simple. Not cooperating with me, you know, like some of us think. Bhakti so-and-so, you cooperate with me. All right. One temple president asked me to speak one time, and he said, you have to tell all the devotees how they have to cooperate with the temple president. But I didn't say that. I said that cooperation is a two-way agreement, right? Cool. So that the leaders have to cooperate with the followers also. You know, we have to know what's going on. So it's very simple. You know, sarva dharmam paricchaja mamekam sharanam braja aham tvam sarva papebhyo mokshaya syami na ma sucha. Krishna will protect you. Don't worry. You know, surrender. Just follow the instructions of the spiritual master. They'll always be good for you. You know, he's not telling you to go live on the street, sleep on the, you know, go naked and sleep on the street and eat from the garbage or something. No, that's not renunciation. Renunciation means you know everything belongs to Krishna. Because we see homeless people, I guess I see them in Japan, here. In Japan there's many, many, many. And they have so many things. They have like a cart from the supermarket or something, and they have so many plastic bags full of stuff. And they're very possessive of it, you know. And if you tried to take some of it, they would kill you, you know. And it's just trash. But maybe some of it, maybe they can sell for a little bit of money, you know. Maybe one few noodles or a few cigarettes or something. But they're really attached. So they're not renounced. They're just unfortunate. They just don't have house and home. And they don't have taxes either. They don't have that kind of problems. They don't pay rent. But they're attached. Renunciation, someone can be very, very wealthy and know that everything belongs to Krishna, everything is the mercy of Krishna, and use as much as they can for Krishna, so they're renounced. They use their house for serving Krishna, they make festivals, they sponsor in books and prasadam or whatever, you know, they use their wealth. They're the renounced people. So anyway, thank you. Srimad Bhagavatam, Maharaj was saying it the other day, you know, it's just always exciting what's coming up next. That's why we encourage people read more than just the one verse a day. Sometimes devotees, not even devotees, other people also, we try to sell them a book and they say, well, I got that book, but I tried to read it, but I couldn't understand it. But maybe they read one sloka or something, especially if they just open up the first chapter of the Gita and it's all Sanskrit names. You know, Indian people have no problem, but, you know, but foreign people, when they... I remember when I was in Sunday school, we'd read the Bible, and I was very good at reading because my mother taught me phonics. You know, you learn to read by syllables. There's another system of where they just learn words. So if they see a word they didn't learn, they can't read, they stop, you know, and they can't understand the whole page. So in the Bible is full of names much harder than Sanskrit names, really long names. And I could always just zip right through them. I was the only one in the class could do that. I always wondered, no, it's so simple, it seemed like so simple. It's like reading this Devanagari, or not the Devanagari, but the transliteration. You know, if you just read every syllable, it's really easy. But if you try to think, I don't know this word, an English speaker or German speaker, they get stuck. But what's next, you know? And if you can't understand one sloka, a lot of times devotees in the class, I say questions, and they come up with some verse, and they say, I read this verse, and I don't, you know. And then I say, well, what verse is it? And I look, and the answer is exactly in the first two sentences of the purport. But they didn't read the purport. You know, that's why we have purports, folks, because we can't understand it. And if you can't understand the purport, read a few more verses and purports, and it'll come. Because it's an ongoing conversation, and, you know, it's not like just memorizing something. It's incredibly deep concepts. But just keep reading. So read more, read every day, read a lot. The more the better. And hear katha. So I'll stop. I don't know what time it is. It's about time. What are your questions or comments? These girls, they have some comments? Because they can pronounce Sanskrit better than me, but... Huh? Anybody? Tapas? It's a good name for him because he did so much tapas in distributing books in Norway. Some of the towns, they have like, what, two or three families? And the weather is different everywhere, you know, from one town to the next, because it's an island and mountains and, you know. So, but we all need to do tapasya. Chant 16 rounds every day, follow the regulative principles, hear the Srimad Bhagavatam every day. That's our tapasya. You don't have to stand up to your neck in ice water or something, although that's good for health. It's become a fashion now. It's a fashion.
The Bhagavatam or any book like Bhagavat literature that because it's Krishna, it's a manifestation of Krishna, so like Bhagavatam is like daily, what is the daily message of Krishna to me today? And when you read or you hear the class, it's like I found that the attitude is what Krishna wants to tell me or Prabhupada wants to tell me today. And if that attitude is there, one may get just one point, but it sticks. So it's like a meditative, because it's like an exchange. It's not like reading a book, a normal book with facts. And it's mystical. But one has to have the desire, if one has the desire to want to know what Prabhupada Krishna wants to tell me. So something will be told. That's my experience.
Very good. Yeah. Anyone else? Come on. Say something. Either you're all fully satisfied or you're just dulled out. I don't know which. All right. So, remember Krishna. We have Govardhan Hill here. You know, Govardhan, it's described that Krishna wasn't actually holding up Govardhan. Right? Govardhan was in such ecstasy to be touched by Krishna, he was floating. But that's the same thing, because it's Krishna's holding up everything. It's a very mystical, and you see how many people worship Govardhan and do Dandavads and all this, you know, very special, merciful place. Jai. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Shri Shri Radha Vrindavan Bihari ki jai. Shri Shri Gauranga ji ki jai. Shri Shri Madan Mohan ki jai. Gaur Premanandi Hari Hari.